All right. Good morning, everyone. My name's Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church, and appreciate you all joining us today. And thanks for those who are online as well. It's great to have you. So we're in a series right now. It's called Growing in Christ, and it's based on some materials from the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. And basically, the idea is if you think of someone who maybe just put their faith in Jesus or is recommitting and wanting to maybe take their faith more seriously, then what would you say to them? How would you help them on their faith journey? And I think the book has like 10 different topics that it leads people through. This is our fourth one we're going to look at. I'm not sure how many more we'll do, maybe one or two more. But it's important to be refreshed in the basics, even if it's stuff that you're familiar with, that you've heard a million times before. I think I don't know if it's in life or American Christianity or what it is, but it's really easy to intellectualize everything and to study it out to the nth degree and to really focus on the information. And because of that tendency, what happens is I think it's easy for us as a church to kind of get deeper and deeper and deeper studying out different things. And sometimes there's a real value of just kind of staying at a basic level of, well, let's focus on excelling at the basics. And I think there's a real value in that. So not that we would do that every week, but that's what we want to do in this series. So this week we're looking at the Bible or Scripture. And at the beginning of each section, they have a little paragraph where they talk about the value of the topic they're talking about. So this one, it says, to be the kind of Christians God wants us to be, we need to know and obey the Scriptures. Make it your habit to memorize and meditate on the Word of God daily. And I'll just be up front with you guys. I have a very mixed response to this sentence and to even this focus in Christianity. And the reason is because I think it's so easy for us as Christians to evaluate our Christianity based upon our Bible reading. And so if you didn't read the Bible this week, you're here and you're like, oh, I'm a bad Christian. And now he's going to talk about it the whole sermon long and just remind me of how bad of a Christian I am. But if you had, you know, five or six quiet times this week, times where you got to read the Bible and pray, then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm glad that we're talking about this. These other people need this. And there's this weird arrogance and sense of Christian success that we have related to our Bible reading. And yet I also believe it's really important to read the Bible, but not for the sake of reading the Bible, but for the sake of learning more about God and being reminded of the truths of God and following God. And so, you know, for centuries up until the invention of the printing press in the 1500s, people didn't have their own copy of the Bible. Their Christianity was not lived out by their quiet times. They didn't wake up and spend 20 minutes drinking coffee and reading the Bible. And yet somehow they had a rich, vibrant relationship with God. And there have been many people who have not been able to read the Bible because they were illiterate. And yet people can have a rich relationship with God. So I don't see it as like, this is the thing, and this is the thing you're missing, and this is the thing you're bad at. It's just like, hey, this is something that can really be a blessing to you and can really help you understand God and follow him better. So that's kind of the flavor that I hope this message carries. And yeah, let's just pray and we'll jump into it here. Lord, we thank you for this time here. Thank you for Scripture. What a privilege it is to have access to a Bible, to have, I don't even know how many I would have in my house, probably at least 20 just personal Bibles, and plus boxes of Bibles that are owned by the church. And it's just, it's crazy the freedoms that we have and the blessing that we have in having access, such free, open access to your word. And so, God, I pray that you would just encourage us this morning, kind of inspire us to get back into your word, to pursue you, to learn more about you, to be refreshed in the basic truths. So we ask that you would really move in this time, just for each one of us, God, that you would speak to our hearts what you have for us here this morning, whether it's encouragement or a little prod or whatever you have. God, we're all in different places, and so we just ask for you to speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to spend a lot of focus here this morning on this one section of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. and it is Paul writing to Timothy. And so he says, "And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." It says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." I want to pull out just a few phrases out of there. One is just, it's interesting that he talks about sacred writing. So it's interesting when we think about the Word of God is communication from God. And so sometimes that's a verbal communication. And then here we see it referred to as the sacred writings, where it's this Word of God that's written down for us that we can refer to. And so, for example, when God spoke to Noah and told him to build the ark. Sorry, I have to kind of pause. It's like, is it Noah or Jonah? Noah or Jonah? I always get confused because of the joke, but I got it right, so I think I'm good. So when God spoke to him, it wasn't like it was written out. It wasn't, he didn't turn to a certain page in his Bible or something, right? And so we can have the Word of God that's different from the Bible, but it's important to understand that we do have the words of God collected into a book we call the Bible. These are sacred writings. They are from God. So it's important for us to understand that, that there's something really special in that. The Word of God exists in written form. It's called the Bible. And then it says it's breathed out by God. It's not merely the writings of men. It's from God. A lot of people can wrestle with this, like, well, how can I trust the Bible when men wrote it? And it is true that men wrote it, but you can trust it because it was inspired by God. It's not just the writings of people. And I think 2 Peter explains this pretty well. Chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will or from man's thinking. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit led them to write what they wrote." And it wasn't that everything was dictated. I think sometimes that happened, but somehow God moved in these prophets, these Bible writers, to write the things that they wrote. So it was not their thoughts on things, but it was communication from God. And I think that's really important for us to understand. That gets called into question a lot by our world. And I think there can be this flavor of almost like, yeah, the Bible, yeah, that's kind of cute. You know, like people used to believe that, but we know better now. We're a lot smarter now. And I would just encourage you that if there's any part of Scripture that you doubt that it's true, I would encourage you to study that out, to look at the different views on it, to realize that sometimes you hear one idea on certain concepts, and there's this whole other view that you've never been exposed to. And when you see both, it's like, oh, okay, I could see where the Bible could be true. And it's really helpful in building your faith. So don't be afraid to study out those things that you can tend to question. So the last thing I want to point out here is just in the middle of this verse, we see that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. It's profitable. It's good. It's helpful. It's useful. And a couple ways we can see that it's profitable, just even in this section, it is profitable to make you wise for salvation. So we talked about salvation the first week of this series and what God has done for us in sending Jesus to come and to pay for our sins by giving his life, by dying on the cross for our sins, making it so that we could have eternal life and a relationship with him, a healthy relationship with him, by putting our faith in what he's done for us. What an amazing thing. And so we know these things through the Bible, through Scripture. And so it makes us wise for salvation. It also equips us to do good. And I always think about this in conjunction with Ephesians 2:10, where it says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so I love that verse because there's this idea where his workmanship, he's created us, we're special to him, And he's got a plan for us, right? He's made things planned out in advance for us to do, work for us to do. And it may not be as glorious as we would hope, but it might be. But whatever it is, to him, it's important. To him, he has things that he wants you to do, work that he wants you to do. And that's part of your purpose here on the earth. And I just think that's a beautiful idea. I think it's really important that we sense that we have a purpose for being here. And then connected to this verse is like, well, the scripture, the word, the Bible equips us to do the work that God calls us into. And I love that. It's like, wow, okay, that's really cool. And the New International Version says it thoroughly equips us. I like that. Like, you know, it's not lacking. It really gives us what we need. So, man, what a beautiful thing. Some other verses on it being profitable. Psalm 119:103 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So imagine just going through darkness. I mean, you can imagine being blind. We've probably all imagined that maybe when we were younger, what that would be like, and kind of bumping our way through the living room or something. But imagine going through life where you were just like blind, like you didn't know what choices you made, if they were going to bring good or bring harm, or if in and of themselves, if they were good or evil, or you just, you know, hey, should I marry this person? Should I not? I have no idea. You know, if you really didn't know, it's like, oh, it would be so valuable to have someone coach you or to have something that points you in the right direction. And when I think of the word being a lamp and a light, that's what it is. It shows us the way. And I watched a movie with Jay-Z and Zeb, my youngest kids, a week or two ago. And it's called 13 Lives. And it is the story of these 13 kids in Taiwan. And they had just done soccer practice. And then they went to kind of the state park type thing where they had this big cave. And they stopped all their bikes at the entrance, and then they went down into the cave, and then they're exploring. I can't remember how far in. It was like over a mile into the cave. And then the rain started coming down torrentially, and they got trapped in this cave for more than 2 weeks. And it's just, you know, this crazy, horrible story. And as thousands of people came and tried to help and help rescue these guys. But one of the things right away is there's this guy that comes up, and he's like the expert on exploring this cave, and he has this little hand-drawn map. And, you know, it's like, oh, that's so valuable right now. And there was this other guy that was more, it was kind of a small mountain with a cave under it, and this other guy really knew the top of the mountain. Well, that was really important because a lot of the water was coming in from the top. And so they went up to the top and kind of redirected a lot of the water so that it didn't keep flooding deeper and deeper as quickly anyway into the cave. And so his knowledge, kind of his map in his head even, was super valuable of knowing where these different entrances to these flows of water were. And so it's like that with the word. It's like, man, we need a map that gives light to our decisions, that directs us and helps us know what to do and how to live and what's good and what will bring good in our lives. Psalm 119:130 in the ESV says, the unfolding of your words gives light, it imparts understanding to the simple. And the New English Translation says, your instructions are a doorway through which light shines. They give insight to the untrained. I wanted to look it up in a couple translations just because that first part of the verse was a little unclear to me. So there's some kind of way that the word gives light, like the light coming through a door. But I really wanted to focus more on the second part there. It imparts understanding to the simple. And I like that even the song we were singing earlier, the higher, wiser. You know, your ways and your thoughts are higher and wiser than ours. And I feel so simple in life sometimes. I remember when my dad passed, and it was like I just lost this wisdom, this source of wisdom, you know, where I could call up and, hey, Dad, my car is making this weird noise, or, hey, Dad, you know, I'm thinking this or thinking that, or maybe this spiritual question, and my dad could coach me in some of that stuff. And sometimes it's like we just we need that, right? We need someone who's older and wiser and who helps give light to the darkness or give wisdom to the simple-minded. Probably told this story before, but when I was in college, I got into a minor bike accident, as far as I remember. But I had just a couple little scratches right here on my face, and I still don't remember the wreck, although I can kind of piece together what happened. But anyway, I ended up getting amnesia and had it for maybe a day or so. And so amnesia affects your memory. So you have your, I don't remember the details on this, but sensory memory, which I think is about 7 seconds, something like that. And then your short-term memory, that's the one I don't remember how long it is. And then your long-term memory. And so with amnesia, at least where I was at, I lost all of my short-term memory. And then I lost some of my long-term memory, so maybe a couple months worth. But I remembered like where I was from and my parents and who they were and stuff like that. And I still had my sensory memory, so I could remember things for like 7 seconds. And so a buddy of mine from high school had me come over to his dorm room, and we were kind of hanging out together. And it's really gracious of him, because being with a person with amnesia is kind of irritating, because they keep asking the same questions over and over and over and over and over and over again, because they don't remember the answer after 7 seconds. So he had this great idea that we should play chess. So we played a game of chess. I don't think I did very well, because every 7 seconds, it's a new game, right? It's like I'm looking at a new board here. And that doesn't work real well with chess. And do you ever play a game and somebody else is kind of watching? And they're like, oh, that was a bad move. Oh, you should do this. And they're wanting to play, right? And it's really, I like being that person. But in that situation, I really could use somebody like that, right? Like, I don't know, just tell me what to do. And that's like understanding to the simple. It's like, I am simple when it comes to spiritual things, deep thoughts. You know, it's like, God, just tell me what to do. And it's cool that his word helps us when we're simple. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. And just those bullet points there, just little phrases I threw together, same concept of what I've been talking about. I really want to drive this point home, obviously. The Bible's profitable. A test is easy when you know the answers. A journey is quicker when you have a map. Baking is better when you have a recipe. A game is more easily won when you know the rules. A school project goes better when you know the grading rubric. You know, it's just all these things in life. It just helps when you know what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what the word does for us. Where we're not just clueless and helpless and without a recipe and we don't know what we're going to get graded on. It's like, man, God tells us how to have a good life. God tells us how to experience life and how to have a relationship with him and how to treat other people and what things will bring life, what things will bring death. It's like, I mean, that's so valuable to have a resource that tells us all this stuff. It's extremely helpful. Like, what a blessing. What riches we have in having Scripture. And so when I think about this verse in Psalm 119:165, the great peace have they who love your law. It's like, man, there's, without having God's word, it'd be going through life like, I don't know what's going to happen. But it's like, man, when God's directing us and giving us wisdom, we can really be at peace. Not that life's never hard, but just it's like, okay, you know, I kind of have a sense of what God's doing and how he's leading and what he wants me to do. There's so much of a blessing in that. Okay, your next general thought. There aren't really 3 points in this message. It's just Steve's random thoughts on the word. Okay. Your general okayness is not on the line. Your life is. So a couple weeks ago, I had my visit to the doctor, and I'd had my cholesterol tested a week before that, right? And it was the best I've ever done. And so I went to the doctor, feeling pretty proud of myself. And he looked, he's like, oh, wow, that's great, okay. And he's kind of stoked. He gets really excited about that. And he's like, well, you're like not 9 pounds heavier than last time I saw you. So, of course, he's thinking that you're going to keep gaining 9 pounds every time. And it's like, no, I go up and down and up and down and up and down. And I'm thinking, you know, well, the cholesterol test was 7 days ago. If you wanted to see, you know, how I'm doing, that was the day to check me. Like, I've eaten a lot of food in the last 7 days. And so, you know, he's kind of starts scolding me and telling me about, you know, well, don't go to restaurants and don't eat fried food and blah, blah, blah. It's like, did you see my cholesterol numbers? It's like, I know how it works. I just don't want to live that way, right? And so, and that's actually kind of profound to think about, that I don't want to eat healthy. I just kind of want to be okay. You know what I mean? And I think most of us are that way. Like, I had artificial intelligence create this. It's the doctor eating dandelions, you know? It's like, no, you know? I don't care how healthy they make you. They're gross, you know? So I think most of us are that way. We don't want to be health nuts. We just kind of generally want to be okay, generally be healthy. And I think spiritually, we can kind of have that same sense. Kind of like, well, I don't want to be one of those religious nuts, right? I don't want to be like a kook. I just kind of want to, you know, kind of keep God at arm's length and kind of be spiritual, but not too spiritual. And I can appreciate that to a degree, but there's also this aspect, it's like, oh man, our lives are on the line. Like, this isn't just, oh, you might have to start taking high blood pressure medicine or something. Like this is, your whole life is at stake here. And I love this verse in Deuteronomy, which, you remember, Deuteronomy is kind of a big review before they go into the promised land. And so he's giving them the things they need to thrive, to do well. And Deuteronomy 32:46, Moses said to Joshua and the people, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them, you will live long in the land you were crossing the Jordan to possess." So, I guess, just to realize, it's like, man, the truths that God communicates to us are so vital. They're so important. It's like they're our life. And the things that he was communicating, it wasn't like, you know, okay, in light of that, I want you to know the deep Hebrew meaning for all these different words. You know, it's like he's just telling them really pretty basic things about following God, about not having idols and not ignoring him and things like that. And yet what happens? We know how things go with the Israelites, right? They went back into their same old ways. They did all that stuff. They ignored the words of God. And what did that mean to them? Oh, it meant their lives in a lot of different senses. And it brought a lot of misery upon them as they didn't follow him. And I don't mean this as, so read your Bibles or you're going to be miserable. I'm just saying, like there's so much value in seeking God and his word and growing in your knowledge of him. And I just want to refresh us in that, remind us that, like, oh, what a good thing. And it's a good life-giving thing. It's not just like eating dandelions. It's like healthy M&Ms. Like, it is awesome stuff to read the word. Knowing God helps in daily life as well as with unimaginable challenges. It's pretty wild, some of the stuff that we have to face in life. And I think as a young person, I didn't know that. I didn't expect life to be that hard. I think I had a fairly easy childhood. There wasn't much death in my family or around me or in my school, or just seemed like everything's pretty smooth. And as life went on, then it's like, oh, then we had, you know, 3 miscarriages, and we lost a baby in delivery, and I went through a broken relationship, and I've lost different friends. I've had people who I felt like were my right-hand man, best buddy, that kind of backstabbed, or, you know, just kind of all sorts of different hard things that I've been through. And you know, anyone who's probably 40 or more, you know, you understand that, right? You know, yeah, life is really hard. It's really, really challenging. And we're not always equipped for what life throws at us. So this week, in just my daily Bible reading, I read the story of David and Goliath. And I caught something in there I'd never really noticed before. I thought it was kind of cool, so I just want to read a little bit of it to you. So this is before David goes up and fights Goliath. He's been asking around about, you know, kind of like, well, why is nobody fighting this guy? And why don't us go fight him? And so King Saul hears this and finds out that this guy has an interest in fighting Goliath. And so it's like, okay, bring this guy to me. And David shows up, and David's just there to bring sandwiches to his brothers. Like, he's not a warrior. He's a little shepherd boy. And Saul sees him, and he's kind of shocked, like, I kind of got my hopes up here. It's like, you are in no position to do this. And so Saul says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine, Goliath, and fight him. You're only a young man, and he's been a warrior from his youth. There's no way you can do this. But David said to Saul, your servant, talking about himself, has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because, and this is the part that I didn't, like, he went a totally different direction than I'm expecting. What I think he's going to say here is, because I'm a lot better of a fighter than you would think. I might look like a kid, but you should see me with a sling. It's going to be like him coming at me with a sword and me coming at him with a gun. I mean, he has very little chance. I am a skilled warrior, and I can do this. That's what I'm expecting, because that seems like the argument he's building up here. And here's what he says. Because Goliath has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. That's so cool. His confidence is not in himself. And what a great warrior he is, even though he is a great warrior. Even though he is skilled enough to go to battle. He's kind of looking at it like, you know, this guy had the gall to offend the God of heaven. Oh man, he's in trouble. And this God has delivered me before from a bear and a lion. So I know my God, and I know he's going to deliver me from this guy too. And he has this confidence in God. And I just, it's like, wow, that is so cool. Now, it fit into the message great, if I could say. And the way he got that is whenever he was watching the sheep, he would pull out his Bible, and he'd read his Bible, and he had quiet times every day, and that helped him to know God. I don't know exactly what he knew. I don't know what scriptures he knew. They would have been, you know, way early Old Testament, whatever he knew. But I know he knew God. He knew God deeply. And he was on some journey that brought him to this place that he knew God that well. And for us, what do we have? Well, we have the words of God. We also have our relationship, our knowledge of him, our prayer. We have other things other than this. But this is, oh man, this is like gold. This is a rich treasure. And we can learn all kinds of stories about God and what he's like and how he acts. And what he wants, and who he supports, and who he's against. And, you know, it's just so full of good stuff, good wisdom about God. It's like, man, just a treasure, a super treasure there. And so it's kind of interesting to think about just David waking up on that morning. He wakes up in the morning. I didn't reread the story. I don't remember if he already knew that he was going to go on a journey or if he just found out that day, but he probably didn't think, hey, this is the day that I'm probably going to go to battle against a giant. Like, you know, he just woke up. It's a pretty normal day. He gets to go to the front. He gets to take sandwiches to his brothers. And he doesn't know what is coming at him. But he's ready because he knows God. And as you go through life, you don't know what this week holds. You don't know how good it's going to be or how hard it's going to be. You don't know how equipped you are, how prepared you are for what's coming. But I hope you know God. I hope you know him really well so that you can have a confidence as you go through trials that, you know, it's a tough situation, but I know God. And so I can trust him for these certain things. All right, just application, I think, is pretty simple here. First off, it's just obviously to read it again. I don't view my Bible reading as a duty or, hey, good for me. I'm a good Christian today because I have my quiet time. It's easy to do that, and it's not a guilt trip thing. It's just so good and so helpful to all of life. When I was a kid, I was in Boy Scouts, and I had the Boy Scout manual, what it was called, but my brother had the field book. The field book was cool because it had like plants that you could eat and how to start a fire without matches and stuff like that, you know, the stuff that's like this. If you were going to be on alone or, you know, get lost in the woods or something, that's like, this would be a really cool resource to have. And that's kind of how I view Scripture. It's like, it's not just, oh, this is something you got to read. It's like, oh, this is kind of my lifeline. It's like, I need this just to survive life. And let me just point out, it's pretty small too, right? This is the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs, which is there's a lot of life-giving stuff in here. And even if you look at the whole Bible, it's not that big. The ones that are under most of your seats are, these are bilingual, so it's really half of this, right? So it's just half. And it's like, man, I think that's cool to go through life. And here's this book that can help me and equip me. It's my field book for life. What a blessing. It's so nice to have that. Meditate on it. Think about it. Just keep it in front of you in whatever way you can. The beginning of Psalms opens up, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The law there would be Scripture to them. So the law is usually referring to the first five books of the Bible. So it's saying, you know, the person who delights in Scripture is like a tree planted by streams of water, which means it's a tree that's in a good place, that's going to thrive, that's going to do well because it's being nourished. And when we love God's word and we meditate on it, we think about it, it's like, man, there's this huge blessing, this life-giving blessing that comes with that. And meditating, I would also just encourage even memorization. For me, that's really been helpful. I don't have a great memory, so I have to kind of work at it to memorize things and to remember things. And so I don't just have a quiet time and then, oh yeah, these 10 verses stuck with me today. It just, my head does not work that way. And so it's really valuable to have verses that I'm thinking about or that I've memorized that are just running through my head. And it's like, man, it's a huge blessing. And then to put it into practice, James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't fool yourself into thinking, hey, I'm reading the Bible all the time and that's great, but it's saying, hey, put that into practice. And I guess the thing that I would encourage you here in the doing part is, again, sometimes I think we think of being doers as, I need to share my faith more, I need to evangelize, I need to serve in some way, I need to be on the Sunday school rotation, or I need to read the Bible. Those are all kind of doing things. But even in doing, I guess I'd go back to the greatest commandment. So Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So there's no commandment greater than those. And I feel like in Christianity, that really easily gets missed. And so we can be like, hey, I'm a good Christian. I read my Bible. And I read it 4 times this week, and so I'm good. Or I read it 7 times this week. And I'm great. I'm doing awesome. And it's like God's saying, hey, it's not about reading, about putting that into practice. And I feel like Christianity, at least in America, misses that love. We miss that that's the thing to focus on. And I'm not saying to overlook sin. I would look at the balance in Jesus' life. Jesus was very loving. Jesus was very accepted by sinners. But Jesus did not condone or approve of sin. That would be a wonderful balance. But I think, as I look at Christianity, I think, man, we need to be really careful to put into practice love. Super critical. So, hope that's helpful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time here. And just thank you for how you are at work in our lives. And just how you have given us a purpose, that things, there are things that you've called us into, things that you want to do in us and through us. And I thank you that your word equips us for the life that you've called us into. And so I pray for each of us, just so you'd help us just to take a step to, whatever, spend 10 minutes a day reading your word, or 4 times a week, or just to take some kind of step in consistently being in the word, putting the word before us, and being refreshed in the basic truths of what you want to remind us of. So we love you, and thank you for this time here. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.